Who is the most influential person in your life? Who is the most influential person in your life? So far, when you look back in your life, who is that person? We get influenced by so many things in life, starting from our neighbors, to politics. Everything somehow, indirectly or directly, influences us. Either Netflix, it could be Hollywood, it could be sports icons, models, movie stars. We are all influenced by some way or the other. Do you think you can get influenced? Many times we say, no, I cannot, no one can influence me in my life. But if you see, we are often influenced by so many things. Think about advertisements. They create a need which is not there. They create a need for a product which we need not buy, but it creates a need in our mind. We are being influenced by media. We are being influenced by so many things that comes across in our lives. People get influenced. That's the fact of life. They get influenced. If you see recently, there is a 13, number 13 in Netflix, which is really sort of promoting teenagers for a suicide. In Raleigh, the most, they're getting so many calls from parents. How can we address this? We may not know, but we are influenced certain in many ways. This evening from Nehemiah chapter 5, we are going to see role model. Nehemiah character, one of the characters. Influence of godly role models in our lives. Influence of godly role models. We are being influenced. We are continuously being bombarded with voices, with preferences. We have to be influenced. There is no other way. But the question is it a good influence or a bad influence? So we see here in chapter 5, Nehemiah, an influence of a godly person, how, as a role model, how he influences his people. How he influences people. That's our theme, our subject this evening from Nehemiah chapter 5. If you see here, people get influenced for God's purposes when they encounter godly role models. They get influenced for God's purposes. See, we can get influenced for so many reasons. We can get influenced at our workplace, in our business. Looking at the God's purpose, how we can be influenced. People get influenced for God's purposes. When they encounter godly role models, they're looking for role models. What type of role models? Godly role models. So the question is, how godly role models can influence us? How, okay, you are saying we are being influenced by role models. When it comes to godly role models, how they can influence us? These are the three points that we are going to look at from Nehemiah chapter 5. Number one is, godly role models, they mend their emotions towards God's purposes. They tackle their emotions when they're hit with crisis, when they're hit with an important decision, They mend their emotions. That's the godly role models they do. And so they influence the people. They influence the outcome. Second, godly role models, they take actions towards God's purposes. They're men and women of action. They step up. They raise. Third, godly role models show their consistency towards God's purposes. They're consistent in their lives. All these three things we can see from chapter 5, Nehemiah chapter 5. How Nehemiah navigated through this crisis. How he put a role model. Let's turn to chapter 5, Nehemiah. Chapter 5, 1 to 6. Chapter 5, 1 to 6. Now there was a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. So we have looked at chapters 1 to 4, how Nehemiah took initiative. He approached the king, he got the letters. He came back, how he motivated, encouraged people of Judah. And we see here in chapter 5, not only there are outside challenges, but inside challenges are also we need to take care. We see here in chapter 5, let's read chapter 5, 1 to 6. Now there was a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. For there were those who said, "We, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live." There were others who said, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards and our houses that we might get grain because of the famine." Also, there were those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. Now our flesh is like the flesh of our brothers, our children like their children. Yet behold, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters are forced into bondage already. And we are helpless because of our fields and vineyards belong to others." See, Nehemiah came there to build the wall. He came there with the vision, with the help of God, pouring out his heart before God. He came there to build the wall. And we see here a crisis. He's seeing a crisis here. All the families of Judah, along with their wives, this is a very interesting thing. Not only men, but along with their wives. That means there's a real problem in their families. They're going along with their wives. And the outcry is, "We don't have food to eat. We need grain." So think about the scenario when there is no food for our children. Think about a scenario when our children were ill. We cannot bear that. If they go through a fever, if they have an accident, we cannot bear that. Here we see they don't have grain, they don't have anything to eat, famine. They're completely stuck. So what's the response? What is that outcry? "Our sons and daughters are many, therefore let us get grain that we may eat and live." It is for the livelihood. It is so serious. And they're doing three things here. There are three things to get the food. One is verse 3. "There were others who said, we are mortgaging our fields. We are mortgaging. This is the word I heard after my marriage. The concept of mortgaging. And we see here, they're mortgaging their fields, vineyards, houses, that they might get grain. Second one, also those, also there were those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. This is an amazing way of learning beyond. Here we see economics, a microeconomics, macroeconomics. What is the difference between a mortgage and lending and borrowing money? See, kids know they can learn how they can become, by reading the word of God, they can become so advanced. At the age of 22, the whole Europe said, he is the person well educated. He was only 22. The whole Europe said, yes, this is the person, John Calvin. Just at the age of 22, think about it. The books that they read. Because when you have the strong foundation of the scripture, right, we can navigate through this so many subjects. Here we see mortgaging, borrowing. There are two different concepts. Mortgaging, you have the field, you are giving to some people so that you get money. If you cannot pay that money, it belongs to that person. So it is the, you're completely giving the field, the vineyards, everything in their name. It is in their name, and you are getting money to live. Borrowing is a different concept, right? You are getting money, and you will pay back. And we see here, they're doing both mortgaging as well as borrowing. And what is worst is, look at the verse 5. Now our flesh is like the flesh of our brothers. They're coming. Our children like their children. Yet behold, we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves. They're going to the further worst case scenario. They're forcing their children to become the bonded slaves. What a sad picture this is. What a sad picture. Making children bondage, under bondage. We can make a child, his life miserable, just we allow him before the TV, without any control. We can make him a slave throughout his life. Here we see their sons, they're forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters are forced into bondage already. And we are helpless because of our fields and vineyards belong to others. So think about the scenario, how they are bringing this difficult thing to Nehemiah. Is it a do you think it's a gossip? Do you think it's a complaining? How do we differentiate? Is it a gossip? Is it a complaining? Or is it escalating or bringing to the right authorities? So in many churches, if there is any issue happens, what we do, we call every person except the people who are in the leadership. Right? But here, it's beyond a complaint. It's a reality. And it has come to Nehemiah. How blessed we will be if we really try to address the issues through a proper channel. Through a proper channel, if you try to address the issue. There was a problem in 1 Corinthians, in the book of Epistle. Then Paul says, he asks one question. Don't you have competent men among you to resolve the issue? Do you remember this point from 1 Corinthians? There is some issue was going on. And he says, don't you have a competent men among you to resolve this? Do you need to go outside? So how can we raise these issues? See, when my child going through tough time, if he goes through some sort of things that I am not able to handle, I can't handle, how do I approach that? How do I escalate to the right people, to the leaders, to the people who are in authority? God has put us in the local church. He has given us so much resources. If there is a problem with spouse, a continuous problem, how do we address that? If there is a problem with other believers, other families, how do we address that? Do we gossip? Do we complain? Or do we bring it to the right people and put it before them? And here we see, after listening the entire this outcry, what is the response of Nehemiah? Verse 6, then I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. When Nehemiah saw this, he got so angry, very angry. Think about anger in our lives. How much it destroys us. How much it removes that joy of the Lord. How much it hampers our growth in the Lord. But it is a right, if it is a right anger, how do we mend it? How do we move it further to get the good outcome? And we see here, godly role models mend their emotions towards God's purposes. Remember, people get influenced towards God's purposes when they encounter godly role models, right? Godly role models. Here we see Nehemiah as a godly role model. How he mend his emotion. What an amazing thought this. How he mend, it is when it is hitting his heart, when he got angry. I remember George Werver, last time I was telling. In their married life, how much struggle he has gone through. And one day, he was so angry, he came from missionary trip. missionary trip. And in his house, he got so angry and he kicked something and he did not know that it was completely filled with some strong material and his foot was hurt. Completely, it was hurt. How we can mend our emotions? See, James 1:19-20, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And we see here in Proverbs, it's completely filled with how we can manage the anger. We need not even see anger management movies. We have profound truths from the scripture. We have amazing truths. We need not go any seminar for anger management. If we really get into the word of God and see what is that I can learn. Look at Proverbs 29 verse 11. I have put all these versions so that we can get a crisp, broader view of what is that verse mentions. Proverbs 29:11. Fools give full vent. They give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. That means only in the end, look at this. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. A fool gives full vent to his anger, same thing as that, but a wise man holds it in check. Holds it in check. Is it a right reason? Or what is the reason behind it? Most anger that we struggle with is selfish anger instead of godly anger. It is not anger about offense towards God or others. It is anger because our pride has been hurt. It is anger because our pride has been hurt or we have been treated unjustly. So we say, I deserve better than this. Proverbs 15, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Proverbs 25 and 16, these are the verses that we have looked at. Like a city whose walls are broken, like a city whose walls are broken through, is a person who lacks self-control. Walls are broken. Nehemiah came to rebuild with the help of God. But if he cannot control his spirit, what is the meaning of building the walls? Proverbs 16, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. See how Nehemiah handled his anger. How Nehemiah handled his anger. Especially when we are growing, people who are close to us, we tend to get more angry. Like in the family, kids with their parents. How is your anger? Anger check. Every day, keep a thermometer check like that. Anger check. With siblings, with spouse, with brothers. So how we are, because we are completely tired sometimes, completely bombarded. So many issues comes up at workplace, at home. How do we handle this? Let's see same chapter 5, 7 to 13. Let's see. Godly role models take actions towards God's purposes. So in this crisis, what is the action that Nehemiah took? Verse 7, I consulted with myself and contended with the nobles and the rulers and said to them, "You are exacting usury each from his brother. Therefore, I held a great assembly against them." So this is a process of how he took the action. There is a crisis and how he took the action. We see here, he consulted and he contended. He consulted within himself. He was slow to anger. He consulted. How he consulted with himself? See here, to reign, meaning of consult is to reign myself, to bring myself under control. If you look in Psalm 73, there is a beautiful, there is a particular incident or context in the life of Asaph. When he was looking at the successful people in the world, people who are ungodly, he started getting ravaged, fret. These are the emotions. And he was completely troubled in himself. And what he did, when I pondered to understand this, what is that? He was trying to understand why ungodly people are successful. Why I am not. I am following God. I am coming to church. What is the reason for their success? He was completely pondering to understand this, and it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. See how he mended his thoughts. Until he came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you, before God. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me and afterward receive me glory. See here, this is the turning point. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, until we put ourselves in the presence of God. That's the reason every day, especially in the morning when you get up, your mind is completely clouded with so many things. I want to do this, I want to do this, I have to do this. What do you do at that time? Just take the coffee. 1, 2, 3 times. Is that the role model? Here we see, he's taking action. He's going to the presence of the Lord. He's contemplating. He's thinking about. He's talking to himself. There is nothing wrong in talking to ourselves. As Psalmist said, "O my soul, forget not all his benefits." He's talking, he's telling to himself. And next one is contend. He's not only consulting himself, preparing himself. And he's contend. Means chide, complain, debate, plead. He's debating, he's putting forth, he's talking to them. Look at the process that he has gone through, the action that he took. See, verse 7, "I consulted with myself and contended with the nobles and the rulers and said to them," he told them directly, he said to them, "You are exacting usury each from his brothers." He communicated that to them. The next level is, "Therefore, I held a great assembly against them." See, look at the process in Matthew 18. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. He's going and talking to them. And next, he's holding a great assembly against them. If he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you. so that by the mouth of the two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as Gentile and as a tax collector. He's raising levels. And we see here, verse 8, I said to them, we, according to our ability, have redeemed our Jewish brothers who were sold to the nations. Now, would you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us? Then they were silent and could not find a word to say. Again I said, the thing which you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? He's really pointing at the, putting his finger on the real issue. The reproach of nations, our enemies. Are you not seeing that? And verse 10, and likewise, I, my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. This is interesting. He was also lending them. But not for usury, not for interest. So what does the Bible say about interest? What does the Bible say about mortgage? Can we take mortgage? Can we take interest? There is an amazing, if you look at the entire scripture teaching, the idea of that is, I can give a one verse, Psalm 112, 5 to 6. There is a verse, it says, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. The bottom line is justice. Whether mortgage or the interest, is it being done with justice? Is happening or not. So if you say there is no mortgage, no borrowing money, think about what happens to the businesses. Think about what happens to the societies. And even to the extent Jesus brings out a parable in the New Testament, you remember? Parable of talents. A person who has one talent, what was told to him, you should have given that to the bank. At least I would have got the interest. Why I am telling is recently, myself and Mr. Peck, we visited a church, a mosque on Friday. And the person who was mentioning, he was so much against mortgage interest. He was so much telling about so many trillions we are in debt. Indirectly, he was mentioning so many things. Message was over, everything. And we met one of our friends there. And a simple question, hey, what do you think about mortgage or taking interest? He mentioned that is entirely against our book. Then how shall we live? Or can we buy house with mortgage? What is the practicality? How does a society understand these things? It really depends their progress. These are the very core things from the scripture. When we have the clarity, our lives will be different. And he mentioned, see, if we are strong in our faith, we don't take. If we are weak in faith, we take. That's the escapism. But here, who conducts his affairs with justice? Nehemiah bringing the role model of Nehemiah. He is mentioning to them, hey, likewise me, my brothers, my servants, we are also lending them. Let us leave off this usury. Let us not use it for our selfish reasons. What an amazing role model here. And the next part, godly role models show their consistency towards God's purposes. Not only he put forth this proposal, he showed his consistency. A tremendous consistency. If you look from the verse 14 onwards, if you see, moreover, from the day that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, for 12 years, neither I nor my kinsmen have eaten the governor's food allowance. Talk about role model. Talk about an example. Neither me nor my kinsmen have eaten the governor's food allowance. No food allowance. I have not taken. The reason is the former governors who were before me laid burdens. You leave a legacy or you leave a burden. You leave a legacy or you leave a load on people. How many years? 12 years. Think about 2017 plus 12 years. How much? 2029, right? How will be as Western Wake? 10 years down the line, what is our game plan? Do we leave a legacy or do we leave a load? A burden, conflicts, crisis, or do we raise and leave a legacy? Godly role model, consistency, he's applying himself on work. He has become governor the very year that he has built. They built within 52 days, the very year. He goes back, he comes back, he goes to king and he comes back as governor. And he applying himself on the work. What an amazing thing this is. I also applied myself to the work on this wall. We did not buy any land and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Applying ourselves on the work. The focus. How do I apply myself on the work? How do I apply myself on the scripture? How do I apply myself on my family, on the church? We have so many priorities. But how do we apply ourselves? For the benefit of local church, for the benefit of families, for the benefit of God's families. Focus, how do we apply? How do I? One day, I forgot my phone going to the office. You know, that was the best day of my life. Nothing is there. No, nothing to see. Just focus on the work. See, what are the things that are really disturbing us? See, the role models, they influence us when we interact with them. When we come across them, we'll never be the same. When we are surrounded by great cloud of witnesses, people who have gone through already, when we are surrounded by them, when we touch them, when we see them, when we talk to them, what happens? The burning, it will come to us. We'll never be the same. Think about Timothy walking along with Paul. Paul's the fire, the unquenchable fire of his passion for the Lord passes on to Timothy. So we see here, applying ourselves on the work. Let us focusing on the ministry, what God has given to us. We see that in Nehemiah. Consistent. Not only that, how he's given to generosity. He said, moreover, there were at my table 150 Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations. From the nations. Jewish purpose of God is that he wants to be a light from the Jewish nation. He wants to show. You are the light of the world. You are the light. In Isaiah itself, God mentioned to Jewish nation, you are the light. And here we see they came to us from the nations that were around us. Now, that which was prepared for each day was one ox, six choice sheep, also birds were prepared for me. And once in 10 days, all sorts of wine were furnished in abundance. Yet for all this, I did not demand governor's food allowance. What a generosity. What a generosity. When I accepted the Lord, when I came to know the Lord 25 years back, every Sunday afternoon, I used to eat in believers' houses. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, I have to take a Sunday school for kids. I used to escape from my home. 7:30, I used to see my parents are seeing or not. Slowly escape from the door. No breakfast. Afternoon. After having the lunch, worship takes till 2 o'clock. No lunch. How do I mend my anger? How do I mend my teenage passions, anger? Oh, without the Lord, what would have been? Generosity. Think about generosity. So when we hit these type of godly role models, how our lives will be? Jesus, the role model. Jesus as a role model. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Look at Nehemiah. He says, remember me, O my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. See, it is with God, he's telling. Remember me, O God. He is the one who gives. He is not a debtor to anyone. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John 14:15. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. What is the meaning of example? A copy. It's a pattern. An exhibit for imitation. Exhibition. An exhibit for imitation. See, when our kids, they see us, we are an exhibition. How do they see us? During the weekend, during the weekday. Copy a pattern, an exhibit for imitation or warning, figuratively specimen, adumbration. So I looked at that, but I forgot. Okay, please go and check it. Okay. So an example, I gave an example, Jesus as the role model. A chance to die. When a young girl wrote a letter to Amy Wilson Carmichael, who is in South India, he replied. The girl asked a question, how is it to be a missionary? Her answer was, it's a chance to die. 16th December 1867 to January 1951. She was a missionary to South India, founded Donavur Fellowship. She served in India for 55 years without furlough and wrote many books about the missionary work there. She says, the saddest thing one meets is a nominal Christian. Saddest thing one meets is a nominal Christian. I don't pray for milk biscuits for the Donavur family, all cut to a pattern and stamped with a single decorous pretty stamp. So many places, to judge by results, seem to be great biscuit manufacturers, and they turn out tidy boxes of biscuits. I pray for soldiers, not biscuits. People get influenced for God's purposes when they encounter godly role models. When they saw how Nehemiah rose by his role model, they were influenced. They said, we will give it back and will require nothing from them. We will do exactly as you say. Role model, influence of godly role models in our life. Let's thank the Lord. Let's praise. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time. Thank you for these moments of learning from your word. We pray that thou might help us to look unto the author and finisher of our Lord Jesus. He is the role model. Thank you, Lord. You have surrounded us with this great cloud of witnesses like Nehemiah. We praise you. We thank you for this book, for the teaching that you are giving to us. Bless us, Lord, as Western Wake Bible Chapel. What is the legacy that we are going to leave? How we are going to influence each other for God's purposes, our families, our next generation, for your purposes, O God. Give us your grace. Help us, guide us, and lead us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.